The Spectator magazine is home to wonderful writing, insightful analysis, and unrivalled books and arts reviews. Subscribe today for just £12 and receive a 12-week subscription in print and online, along with a free £20 John Lewis or Waitrose voucher. Go to spectator.co.uk/voucher.
Hello and welcome to Coffee House Shots, the Spectator's daily politics podcast. I'm Oscar Edmondson and I'm joined today by the Spectator's deputy political editor James Heal and Claire Ainslie, former executive director of policy for Labour, now at the Progressive Policy Institute. And it is St. George's Day, so to celebrate, we thought we'd ask who is the most patriotic political leader and why it is that some often struggle communicating their love of country. But Claire, I wanted to start with you because Keir Starmer has given an interview to The Mirror, which went out this morning, where he said that Labour is the patriotic party. Do you think that is true?
I think it is true, and I think the voters believe it's true as well. And historically, it has mostly been true, but not always. And therefore, you sort of think, isn't it obvious that a British Prime Minister would be able to say that about their own party? And the whole hasn't always been obvious for voters of the Labour Party. And I think it is true now, and it has been under Keir Starmer's leadership throughout.
But I'm interested from your time working in the Leader of the Opposition's office, how much the question of patriotism was spoken about, because you allude there in your first answer to the fact that perhaps under Jeremy Corbyn, there was a reluctance to get out the flag, stand him in front of the Union Jack. Was there a concerted effort to change that under Keir Starmer?
There was, and it was an absolute necessity in 2020 when Keir Starmer became leader of the Labour Party. We asked voters a lot, what did you think of Labour? Like, we needed to know. And we just had an election which told us in pretty resounding terms what people thought. But one of the things that came up again and again is that people just said we were unpatriotic. And that really mattered. It wasn't just about flags or symbols. It was that they did not believe we would put the country first. So for Keir, his patriotism, I think, has been a thread running through his leadership. And it, as I say, it wasn't just about the symbols. It was much deeper than that. It was him saying, I will put this country before the party. I will do that at every turn. I will do that on defence and security. And in fact, lots of what we did had to be quite carefully orchestrated. There's a strategy that's now been written about fairly endlessly, and I'm sure there'll be more to come. But very early on, it was obviously the pandemic and we couldn't get out and about very much. So Keir decided, was very frustrated by this. He didn't want to go to do speeches to the faithful. He wanted to kind of listen to voters who'd turned away from Labour. So we ran these sessions called Call Keir, and he had these dial-ins, and they ended up having to be from his offices in the Leader of the Opposition's suite. And he got asked really early on, are you a patriot? And he gave this kind of very fulsome, fluent answer about his patriotism and what it meant. And I think that it has been that absolute thread that's gone through what motivates him to do what he's doing. He's very driven by public service. He's driven by a love of country. I think it's really genuine. And the fact that it's authentic means that people believe it because it is true.
James, what do you think? Do you believe Keir Starmer's a patriot?
Well, I think given his love of football and from talking to a few people in Keir's team, I think when he watches the football, he probably sometimes goes from being a patriot to a nationalist, such as his fervour in the spirit of competition. Obviously, I think Keir Starmer is a patriot. I think that it is both the sensible, the right thing to do. You know, if you want to lead a country, it is probably wise to love that country and to at least have a sympathy and a desire to improve the betterment of the people and its institutions of this country. I think, like a lot of older men, perhaps Keir Starmer might struggle sometimes to articulate that. I think men of a certain age and upbringing might sometimes, it seems almost ridiculous to sort of question their patriotism, and sort of they might feel less willing to sort of articulate that in a sort of gushing sense. But I do think patriotism is something that's a key theme in British politics, both in terms of what's happened with Keir Starmer. And of course, I remember that 2022 Labour conference when it was singing God Save the King just after the death of the late Queen, and sort of the flying of the Union Jacks, as opposed to previously there was the Palestinian flags. And that really was a clear message sending people that, you know, the country will be safe with Keir Starmer. He wants to put your your work first. And I think that's important for voters. I also think it's important in terms of an elite queue as well, which is that the country, I think it was Margaret Thatcher who said of, you know, the country would be safe with Tony Blair. The same was true of Keir Starmer. No Tory genuinely thought Keir Starmer was going to destroy the United Kingdom after the 4th of July. And I think that therefore that's important in sending a message. And I think that's very different to, say, for instance, 2019, where I think a lot of people genuinely felt unsafe with the country, rightly or wrongly, under Jeremy Corbyn. So I think that's kind of important. I think contemporary debate, obviously, Keir Starmer is not history in one sense, and obviously he's right to continue doing his work on patriotism, talking the St. George's Day speech yesterday in Downing Street and doing interviews in The Sun and The Mirror today. But I think the most interesting one in next week's local elections is going to be Sir Ed Davey. And he's sort of trying to refashion patriotism, sort of take away, you know, the Tory party loves to portray itself as the national party, the John Bull imperial pint by the bucket load thing Churchill spoke about, etc. Ed Davey's trying to do a similar thing. And he's going to be photographed a lot with Union Jacks, sort of talking about patriotism a lot. And I think that he's got this new buy British, made in, insert local constituency here. So you see, you know, Devon MPs talking about Devon jam, you know, Sussex goods, etc. And it allows sort of every MP or council leader, where they've got elections, to sort of put their own spin on it, promote their own local goods. And that's a way of sort of empowering people. And of course, the reason for all that sort of Buy British campaign is because of Donald Trump's tariffs. So an external enemy can be a useful way of rallying to people. And the Canadian Liberals have shown a great example of this, Mark Carney. So I think that whether it's in terms of repositioning your party in both the minds of voters and elite Westminster centres, Keir was able to do, or whether it's about sort of fashioning it against a sort of overseas or bigger opponent like Donald Trump, I think patriotism is certainly something every savvy and sensible and right politician should sort of use. And I do think the sort of battle of the Union Jack is going to be something we see particularly potentially down the line as we sort of more reform politics versus Lib Dem politics, etc.
Claire, what do you think about those sort of centre-right moving towards the right-wing parties? Do you think it's fair to say that they're maybe better at communicating their patriotism?
I think what I would describe as more traditional form of patriotism probably comes quite naturally to some of the centre-right. I don't think people, voters, question it in the same way. I think for Labour and I think for Keir Starmer, although we're obviously recording this St. George's Day, for him, patriotism is about Great Britain. And of course, one of the big things that he did initially was to commission a very extensive review led by former Prime Minister Gordon Brown into the future of the United Kingdom. And I think he recognised that within the United Kingdom, you have lots of different identities. Scottish in particular was obviously settling the sort of the question of how you can have a more equal Scotland and England, I think, was part of Keir's thinking. And of course, a lot of what he's now done has come from that in terms of economic growth across the country and people having that more kind of feeling and identification with their area. But I think that's a really, really important point about the big question for all political leaders now is about how their country is now defined in relation to other countries. And I think it's really important. Rachel Reeves is in Washington this week. I think it's really important that she's putting a full-throated argument for fair and free trade and does not retreat into a let's turn back the clock. That will make us poorer. It will make American workers and consumers poorer. But they are going to have to find a way for standing up for Britain's interests. And you see it around steel. That's one of the examples, I think, where they are saying that there needs to be a different evolution of globalisation if we are going to protect our industry, if not advance protectionism.
And Claire, staying on the US for a bit, in advance of our conversation, I did read some really interesting analysis that you did just after the US election about how big of a force patriotism was in electing Donald Trump for the second time. Can you tell us a bit about it?
It's a big force, and a lot of my time is now spent with the Democrats and using that research to help set a direction for them, which we hope will follow in some ways what the British Labour Party has done in terms of connecting with that historic working class base. And for those voters, patriotism is absolutely core. And forget kind of MAGA caps and rallies and flags. It's not about that. It's about standing up for working people in the face of big global forces that are coming their way. And of course, many years ago, that would have been the destruction of industry. Actually, now it's about rising prices and people feeling that there's no control over a lot of that. So for the Democrats, they have to have both an economic offer that speaks to those voters, but there is also a sense that they have to show that they believe in America. And I know that sounds like a really facile thing to say, but some of the research we looked at showed that American liberals were the only group in America that didn't believe America is the best country on earth. Like, even moderates think America is the best country on earth. Like, Americans on the whole define their patriotism in more distinct and clear ways. If the Democrats are not seen as believing that America is the greatest country on earth, then and have liberals at the helm totally, then they will not be able to, I think, unite that cross-class coalition that they need to do to win again.
Mm. Yeah, I completely agree. I think that, you know, my irritation sometimes is sort of echoes of George Orwell and sort of Lion and the Unicorn. There's a certain type of Englishman or English liberal which would sort of, you know, have difficulty sort of singing the words of God Save the King, etc. I mean, the point is, if you don't love your country, how do you expect people to trust you to run it for the next 5 years? And I think there's an interesting article in The Economist this week talking, for instance, about Mike Tapp, who's a very new and online Labour MP for Dover and Deal, and he's sort of releasing endless attacks, sort of criticising Nigel Farage for being, you know, plastic patriots, etc. Now, yeah. I'm not so much a fan of that, but I do think it is important to sort of, you know, why not wrap yourself up in the Union Jack flag and sort of fly it with pride? Because, you know, as Claire says there, if you're not sort of in touch with your electorate and what they're speaking, then that's important. I think there's a way of doing that in good politics. I think GB Energy is the great example, you know, one of Labour's most popular policies, which is to sort of put a big, you know, Union Jack flag on a bit of left-wing politics, sort of nationalisation style, old school, and why not make that sort of patriotic spin on that? I also think, you know, it makes sense in terms of the taking back control argument we've heard so much about, and also the sort of concerns around place and community, and given Labour's work on all this, why wouldn't you try and sort of use the national branding? I think also in terms of updated conversation, you know, it's important that patriotism isn't just about sort of, you know, the most, I think what Claire was saying previously about sort of the obvious symbols, you know, sort of the crown, the institutions, sort of the Burkean recognisable features of old Britain, etc. It's about updating that conversation. I think that, you know, the challenge for the left is going to be ensuring that having a discussion around growth, you know, economic growth is a good thing and a patriotic thing, and obviously you want to, you know, if you want to keep things as they have been, we need to sort of go back to the days of 2% GDP growth, etc. And for the right as well, to love the Britain as it looks like today. You know, David Cameron was very good at this in the late 2000s of saying, of getting to know the Britain we have in sort of a multicultural, multiracial Britain, rather than sort of what was it caricatured oftentimes in the 1990s, the late 1990s, as being quite a sort of, you know, little in Englander approach, which I think was misleading. But I think that having the country as it is now is the important part of it. So I think that's the challenge going to be for Kemi Badenoch in the late 2020s, because I think often the times the Tories sort of will be having too many conversations about themselves or looking backwards rather than looking forward. So I think there's a challenge for both the centre-left and centre-right in terms of looking at how we have that in the politics of the 2020s, when it's very scratchy and there's very rather anemic economic growth prospects.
But what about when it comes to reform? Do you think Nigel Farage has a point to prove when it comes to patriotism?
Well, I think Nigel is obviously very quick to sort of wrap himself in the Union flag. You know, he loves sporting on stage. I've been at his ankle level far too many times in the audience, and he likes wearing Union Jack socks, so people send to him, apparently. You know, the wonders of his post bag. I think that the key thing, of course, is, you know, the critic which a lot of rivals will have for Farage is, you know, you were able to criticise failings, but I actually come up with diagnoses and solutions, etc. Now, he'll argue he will. We'll see when reform, presumably next week, when 300 to 400, potentially more councillors, etc. I would just say that I think that, you know, it's great to have, I think it's interesting what people, it's very revealing what people say when they sort of love a country and what it actually means. And as we've been discussing on this, is that in terms of sort of relics, or is it about things that sort of life issues? And I think the thing about patriotism is it going to be an optimistic and sort of cavalier version of that in terms of loving the benefits of Britain now, etc.? Or is it going to be saying, oh, it's so much worse than it used to be, etc.? So I think that in terms of practical politics, obviously you can sort of criticise. The danger is, of course, is that you then unleash tigers which you can't ride, and crocodiles, etc., and all sorts of Churchillian appeasement metaphors. So I think that it's about actually, you know, if you're going to have a country, the danger is that unless you're going to be coming up with some solutions, you can then sometimes get outflanked.
And Claire, final word to you. What do you think patriotism means in 2025? Who gets to decide what patriotism is?
I think it is all going to be about the economic answers we arrive at, actually. It won't be about the rhetoric of belonging and inclusivity. I think a lot of that is taken as a given now in modern Britain, and it should be embraced by all of the parties. And I think reform will have to be very careful not to embrace a kind of backward-looking, nostalgic view of patriotism. I think it's all going to be about the economic answers that we now have in response to this change in globalisation around us. And actually what's been really interesting about Reform has been the fact that they are starting to tack left on the economy. They're starting to speak up for the national economy more. And that is a much bigger problem, frankly, for the Labour Party than some of the electoral gains they've made so far. So I would say watch this space, because that is where the economic gains are to be made.
Fantastic. Thank you, James. Thank you, Claire. And thank you very much for listening.